Hey folks, it's Iselin and I'm thrilled to record another episode of Work in SEO podcast. A podcast where we explore the diversity of career path in SEO and I interview amazing people to learn from them and help you find your way in your SEO career. I'm Iselin Mühlhauser, SEO nerd and content strategist, founder of the SEO consultancy Pilea.ch. Today, I am joined by the wonderful Victoria Olsina. Victoria is a SEO consultant specialized in fintech and blockchain. She is a seasoned speaker. I recently spotted her in a big name conference, which is the reason why I invited her today. But we will get back to this later. Hi, Victoria, and welcome.
Hi, Iselin. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure for me to be here.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. And so today I've invited you to discuss a very important subject, and that's bullying and harassment at work. Well, that does not sound really light, but I thought it was really important to discuss this, as I expect it might happen to me or it might happen to other people and I might be the witness. So basically, in this podcast, what I'm hoping we will learn is how to approach bullying and harassment at the workplace and how to recognize it, because I can expect that sometimes I might silence myself and say, oh, it's not happening, and I might not see, and especially also how to act if I'm a witness. This is Work in SEO podcast with Victoria, and can you first, tell us a little bit about you, what you're doing at the moment, and your line of work, where you are.
Yeah, so I was born in Argentina, that's why I speak like this. And I have been living in London for the last 5 years. Previously to this, I lived in New Zealand, and I have been an online marketing and SEO consultant since then, for the last 12 years. I specialized in fintech and blockchain, which are really male-dominated industries, a little bit like the world. I'm an independent consultant at the moment, but I worked in many sorts of international well-known companies such as Barclays, New Zealand Tourism, Citizen Watches, Kathmandu, Consensus, which is a big blockchain company. Now I'm a freelance consultant and I'm enjoying myself.
Do you remember when you first heard about SEO?
Yes, I did, because I was living in Cordoba, Argentina, my hometown, and I went to a talk about search engine marketing, and this was ages ago. I must have been 22. I went because I thought it was interesting and I didn't know anything about it. So they touched the subjects of paid search and organic search, and that was the first time I heard about it. I studied multimedia advertising first and then multimedia design at uni, because I wanted to work on something related to the internet. And at that point in time, the only way was to design websites. Well, that's how you worked online. There wasn't so many career choices as now. I did multimedia design for that, and then I did a postgrad in online marketing, where we started seeing SEO.
And what made you go like, oh, I like SEO, I want to keep on doing that and not something else?
I think it sort of life took me there. Within online marketing, that you have paid search, social, email marketing, I think that SEO is seen like the black magic, like that thing that nobody ever wants to touch and people don't understand. So in every job, I read a lot and I'm a nerd, and many times they gave me this sort of assignment to sort out something that other people didn't want to do. And SEO was always that. And then when I arrived to the UK, which I was a sort of generalist consultant before, because in New Zealand, every agency I work for, well, New Zealand is very small, agencies are small, and you're sort of a generalist. But when I got here to the UK, I went for an interview at Barclays, and it was a search and acquisition manager role. And I thought it would be mostly paid search, But it was mostly SEO, so I had to really learn things and pretend. First, I had to pretend I know. So when people say fake it until you make it, it's like, yeah, I passed that interview and suddenly I was managing the SEO of one of the biggest brands in the UK. Was I qualified? Maybe not. But I learned a lot in the process, and I had to get ready.
For most of us, it's more of SEO finding us than really us finding SEO and looking for the job. Then we learn by doing and get better step by step.
You don't study SEO at the university or anywhere. You do a course if you want online, but you have to do it on your own. As you say, most of the things you learn on your job, because things get broken, websites need to be migrated, algorithm changes happen, so you learn by doing.
Let's dive into today's subject. Do you remember when you realized that what was going on at work was not okay? Did it take you a long time?
I think that many times, as you said on the intro, it's like, is this happening to me? Are people being inappropriate or are treating me in a way that is not the way you should treat people at work? Or is this my imagination? As I said on the talk that you watched, because bullying and harassment generally happen from somebody that is above you in hierarchy, it makes it quite hard to deal with. So if you say, is this boss, are these attitudes? First of all, you have to recognize you feel uncomfortable. I think that's the main thing. If you're feeling uncomfortable, there's something happening. And you can feel uncomfortable for different reasons. Maybe somebody's behaving like a creep, saying inappropriate comments about you, the way you look, the way you are in terms of race, gender, sexuality, or different, what the in UK law we call protected characteristics. I mean, the law protects you because it is understood that you are more vulnerable when we see the protected characteristics, which several countries have, not only the UK. I do remember, but I didn't know what to do, right? It's like, oh, why is this happening? And first of all, you feel that it's just going to happen once, but it never does. When a bully finds you, it's like at school. It's like exactly at school, in high school, where I was bullied as well because I had the best grades in the class. So what a great reason to bully someone. Oh, you have the best grade. You are just being mean to people. But at work, it's definitely not okay. So it was hard for me to do something about it. And now I know I have a better understanding of what you have to do. And I'm happy that I can talk about this here.
Was the language a problem? Because I'm not an English native speaker, as you can hear. And I also work in a multilingual country. I've experienced workplace where French was not the main language. Sometimes I might not trust myself, you know, with what was intended in the words because it's not my language. And now I think, oh, but maybe it's me because I don't understand or because I'm not a native speaker. So did you have this kind of issues or did you ask a native speaker what is okay or what is not? Or
Yes. I talked to other friends, first outside of work, if they have experienced something similar, and then colleagues inside of work. It's important that you have colleagues inside of work that see this, because they could potentially be your witness. They could say, yes, this happened. Yes, I saw that that this person said this thing to Victoria, behave in a certain way. Yeah, you cannot. You always have I always had at work like a little group of people that then became friends, right? Work colleagues that then became friends that I could trust and that I could talk to sensitive situations. And yeah, it was happening. So it wasn't my imagination. I don't know why women are trained to believe that it's our imagination when a lot of shit happens all the time and to us just for being women. And this is just one layer of complexity. We are both women. The degree of otherness is what makes you vulnerable. That the fact is not, well, you're a woman. In my case, I'm an immigrant. Many times I might not look white, or I don't look white British, let's say. So there is, let's call it an ethnical component. It's not that I'm brown either. So it's just, I think that if I was browner, I would have a worse time. Then I am a lesbian and I don't feel that I have to hide this. And that's another degree of otherness that separates you from the heteronorm, the white, in this industry that I am, that is mostly dominated by white heterosexual men that are above the age of 50, you are different from them. You come from another place.
The first step would be really to see the situation for what it is and trust your guts or my guts and say, oh yeah, this is definitely not okay. If you like your job, you might go, oh, I want to change the situation because I don't want to leave my job. I like what I'm doing. Or do you think there's no chance to actually change the situation, or is it better to go? I wonder, what is the second step when you realize that it's not okay? What is the safe? What are the options that I can take?
I think that it's very good that you start a journal, because as I said before, this is not a one-off situation. This will be a recurrent situation. This journal is your main evidence. You document what is happening. What you do on this journal, you say the date, what happened, and what made you feel. Let's say that there is a colleague or your boss makes misogynist comments, how you're dressed, or you do this because you're a woman, get me a coffee because you're a woman. Let's say the basic example. Generally, it's a bit more subtle than that. People know that you cannot burn yourself in that way. In some industries, I think that in cryptocurrency, in blockchain, where all of the males from investment banking emigrated, the moment that banking had to have an HR department that actually comply, all of them immigrated to a newer industry where there was no HR department. Why do you think that is? What you do is you document what is happening, particularly how it makes you feel. Because people can object. Nobody can object that you felt like in a certain way. That's the truth. I felt like this. This person told me, fetch me a coffee because you are the only woman. Or, Victoria, take notes because you are the only woman in the room. And I felt that I was treated differently because I was a woman and I had to assist men, right? That would be a record in this journal. When you have several entries on the journal, it's very easy for you to make a complaint to the HR department. Then if you feel that they haven't done enough, there are different, in the UK, you can call for a grievance procedure, which is it's a legal stage before going to court where you tell your employer that you're not happy with the response they have given you.
It sounds like to do this, one needs lots of courage. Because I can imagine doing the journaling, I can imagine going to HR. Well, most of the time I would expect HR would tell me something like, yes, we will do some sort of report and some sort of survey. But then taking a next step to go further is actually a very strong move.
What the HR will do, they will call an internal investigation. They should call an internal investigation. For example, if I say on my journal, because it would be important that you have witness, this happened in this meeting, and then after I left the meeting, I told Iselin about it. Cool. It would be probably the HR would call you and say, okay, this is the situation. Did you see this? Have you noticed anything, any inappropriate conducts, any misogynist conducts within the workplace? And ideally, you support me because you have seen this. You're not making it up. You've actually seen this and you corroborate that this is happening. Many times I understand that people will not want to do this because, well, so many things. Nobody wants to be involved in work drama. I feel that people feel they're going to be burned and they will never find a job again. And that has never happened to me. Actually, I get the people who know I have done this, who are women, continue hiring me Yeah, there was one of the companies that worked, there was like a dramatic, this turned out dramatic, right? Now, obviously, I thought, well, maybe I will never get hired again because I told HR that this guy was harassing me. A big boss was harassing me. And my friends, who were my witnesses, think that this is the right thing to do, that I shouldn't stand this. I continue working in this industry, and it's a very small industry, blockchain and cryptocurrencies. I haven't been burned. Probably the person involved will never recommend me or will never employ me, but I don't want to be, I don't want to work where he works. And actually, none of my colleagues want to work in a company where this person works. So for companies, this is also important. That if you are protecting a bully or if you're protecting somebody because it has power, it can backfire. Because some people that know, again, in a small industry, you know, women talk. And it's like, if somebody's a creep, that's the first thing that you hear that in the workplace. Now, if you protect a creep, if you employ a creep, there might be other people that don't want to work for you. There are consequences.
As a witness right in the situation, when the bully says the comments, can I do something to help, just to make the person bullied feeling less alone, or to give some sort of support? As a colleague, I don't wish that to my colleagues. So
yeah, I mean,
what would be the right move?
I think that if you're in the moment, evidently the right thing to do would be, can you not do this? Can you respect this person? Can you not refer to her in this way? But how many people actually do that? How many people send to the boss like, sorry, I don't think this is appropriate. You're treating Victoria in a misogynistic way. How many people? Not many. I think that you could try to comfort this person after the situation if you're not going to stand up. I understand that if your job is also in danger, you choose not to stand up. And yeah, that would be like the most common thing. I would be surprised if people reacted the other way. But considering we are moving, or I would hope that the world is moving to in a direction with the Me Too movement, Black Lives Matter, and many other social issues that people are more and more aware of now, I would like us to stand for each other. I have to stand for my team, and I don't regret it. But at this stage, again, I don't want to say I don't care. It's just I don't want to work for companies that treat people that way. And that's why also I'm a consultant. I feel that when you're a permanent employee, you have to be in the politics. You have to be in the power struggle. Do I get my bonus or not? And it's like, I just want to do SEO. I don't care if I manage one person or nobody or 20 people. It's just I cannot do the politics games. And most companies are about that.
I'm hoping that if someone hears us and is experienced something like this, I'm hoping we can give that person a couple of advice to take care of themselves and just get better, because it's incredibly difficult. What kind of advice, could we say to that person to keep up, you know, and not give up on the job and not accept the situation? And I suppose that would be the worst. Just stay there.
Yeah, well, that's high school. That's high school bullying, right? You have to stay there with those people for 5 years, 6 years. But we are adults, and here the law is supposed to be here to protect you. So view the journal, you go, you talk to HR. HR should do something about it. If they don't, as I said, in the UK, you can present a grievance, and afterwards you could go to court. You could take your employer to court, which nobody wants to do. But ideally, if you have this documentation and what you have done is true, said is true, it's very likely that they try to settle with you. nobody wants to go to court. So before going to court, your employer will try to say, okay, we'll give you this money and you will never and we will never speak about this again. You do a quick handover, whatever it is, and we split ways. That's how it's generally done. I don't feel it's not easy. I'm just telling you how the process is. It's not easy. I think that it's a very stressful situation. So to look for support within your peers and your friends, your family is the key, because nobody wants to let the bad guys. They are always guys. The bad guys win. But at some point, you have to see within that stress. For example, in my particular case, I have a medical condition that whenever I get very stressed, I start experiencing a pain in the back and neck, and it can cause paralysis in the arm, in the right arm. Yes? Do you think how many days, weeks, month do you think you can stand in a level of stress where you cannot move your half of your body? Not much. There is a level. Yeah, you have to train what is mental health, what is good for you, and what is the need of justice or revenge, depending on how you take this. I would say it's justice. But sometimes, you know, if you want to do like, no, they are not going to get away with this thing. It's a balancing act. Ideally, first, you don't quit. The other person that is causing you harm will be forced to leave, but that will depend on the person's hierarchy. If this is the CEO, the CMO, I don't think that's going to happen unless it's something incredibly shameful and obvious. If it's the owner of the company, that's not going to happen. So what is the best outcome? Probably money. That's the only outcome here, so that you can be without working for the time that you need to find a new job, 3 months, 6 months, whatever it is. That is what I can suggest. Define the outcome, what you want out of the situation.
I heard it's a long way. I'm a consultant too, so I'm really happy to be able to choose my clients and choose to work with people that I enjoy working with. I think that's one of the main advantages of being a consultant. But working in a company, as you said, it's a lot of politics and a lot of relationship.
And way less money also. I don't understand what's the equation. A lot of people want security, and this is the way that the system has told us that we are a good citizen, we have security, we get money for a mortgage, for a loan, and we get a piece of identity for the people that lack some identity, right? The work is like, you are an SEO consultant. I am many things. I do SEO, and this is what I do for a living, but I'm not defined by it, but I understand that a lot of people are. I don't know why people work permanently.
Maybe that's a question for next podcast and then the next guest. I see that we've already talked a long time and covered many, many interesting things in our talk. I kind of struggle to find something clever to go forward and close, because I don't really want to close. I want to keep on the conversation and think that we can maybe, probably, hopefully help people in this situation. Maybe to close, do you have a last word of advice or resources to share?
I think that for this particular circumstance, I'm at the moment of my life where I don't want to say change the world, but where if things are not done in a way that are up to my expectations, because as a woman at the workplace, I feel that I shouldn't be bullied or harassed. And if I am, I'm going to do something about it. I do this outside of work as well. I'm part of a queer collective that puts queer events here in London, mostly focus on women, because we don't feel there is enough events, we don't feel there are enough clubs, we don't feel we have to meet each other in clubs. So we did something about it. If I don't do something with the things in the world that is like, London is lacking lesbian entertainment or queer female entertainment, well, I have to do something about it. And I cannot expect other people to do it for me. There are only two queer female comedy nights in London. I run one of them. Because if we don't set the example in London, do you think that it will happen in Cordoba, the city I'm from? No, it won't. I don't want to say that silly phrase, be the change you want to be in the world. But it's a little bit like that. It's like if things are not up to the standard and nobody else will do something, I cannot sleep if I don't do something. I don't know, if you're not happy with it, just do something.
I'm very impressed with your resilience. And because I read your slides of that big conference, and I'm happy I got the chance to talk to you. And yeah, I think you're very impressive. I'm very impressed. And I really like that you want to close with the idea of taking some actions, even if it's something small. And because I do think that we feel better when we do something, when we're not just in the situation, but we take some sort of actions for ourselves and maybe for others.
For different reasons, I have been through this situation enough times that I know what to do. What can I do with this? Can I do something useful that will help other people or not? I hope it's helpful and that it helps other people. That's the only thing I can do. But well, if we are all doing the little thing we can do, well, we change the world eventually, right?
If someone wants to reach out to continue the conversation or invite you to another podcast, conference or whatever, where can they find you?
I'm an SEO consultant, so it's quite easy to find me. I'm on Twitter. I am at Victoria_Olsina. And I'm also on LinkedIn, Victoria Olsina. And I have a website, which is victoriaolsina.com. Olsina is spelled O-L-S-I-N-A.
I will make sure to add all these links to the transcripts and the description of the podcast. That brings our podcast to the end. I'm really happy you accepted my invitation. So thank you for your time and your energy and for sharing genuinely all of this with us.
No, thank you for inviting me, Celine. And it's also very important that you are doing something too. You come for your podcast to talk about this. So yeah, we are creating something better. Thank you so much for giving me the time to talk about this important topic with you.
That was my pleasure. And if you have any feedback for me, you who are listening to us right now, you find me on Twitter. It's Work in SEO. Please reach out if you have any comments or if you want to share the next subject you want to listen to, or if you want to do anything to support Victoria or us, or have any idea to do a little thing extra to make the world a better place. We are eager to hear, share, and thank you for listening. And I'm looking forward to being with you again in another episode. Thank you.